And St. Paul is using some picture language here to talk about what baptism really means. Now, one of the dangers on this subject is that people across the Christian community all around the world, many of them teach that baptism is simply a symbol. It's simply something we do to signify what God is working inside of us. Now, we're going to be talking about the symbolism of baptism this morning, and I want to make it very, very clear that we do not agree with that position. We do not believe that baptism is merely a symbol. It is a symbol, but it's not merely that. It is much more than that. It is actually a reality, and we'll get to that as we move along in our message today. But let's first talk about the symbolism. At the time of Christ, when this text was written, going back to the days of St. Paul, there were many different types of baptisms. As a matter of fact, almost every group that existed had some initiation rite which involved and included baptism. And so the people were very aware of what the word baptize meant, although in a spiritual Christian sense, they did not understand it that way. But they knew that baptism meant people were having a change of life, and they wanted to symbolize this somehow in the act of baptism. So, for instance, the Jews, when a person was, say, from a pagan community, decided to become a Jew, they were baptized. They had a form of baptism. And in the Jewish religion called Judaism, they had the person completely disrobed. Now, we're talking about adults here, not infants. That's a whole different subject. In this particular case, what Paul is talking about here are converts who were adults. This is in the first century of the Christian church. And so the Jew would completely disrobe, totally, and they felt that the water had to cover every spot on the body in order to say that this person had been totally renewed. And so that was one of the emphases of Judaism. And also at that same time, they would sometimes give the person a new name. You remember how that's done. Even in Peter's case, you remember that God gave him a new name. And you remember that that was a traditional thing among the Jews. So they kind of had an understanding that baptism was an initiation rite, a symbol that said a new life is starting here. Now, as I just want to keep repeating this, it's much more than a symbol, but it does have some symbolism. Now, already in those days, the Greeks also had a form of baptism. And it's interesting, they would demonstrate this by digging a hole and burying the person with just their head showing. Every other part of their body would be buried and just the head. And then after their ritual and after their receiving of this person into that cult, into that new tradition, they would then exhume the person and say, now you are a new person. You now have a change in your life. You're different than you were before this experience. And the Christians, they had a symbolism also. In the early New Testament, it's pretty clear, although it's not conclusive. I found once over in Israel a baptism font that was only about a foot deep, and of course you can't immerse someone, an adult, in something a foot deep. And so there were exceptions in one of the churches there. But most of the time it was at a river or a lake or something like that where the person could be immersed. And that's what St. Paul is talking about here. You were buried with Christ in baptism. He's talking about being put all the way under the water as if you had been drowned. The old Adam, as Luther used to speak of it, the old sinful nature has been crucified with Christ, drowned, and when they come back up out of the water, this is a symbolic way of saying, and a new person has arrived. That new person is baptized in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I feel it's unfortunate that Luther didn't follow some of the Baptist teachings there later on. I don't mean Luther himself, because the Baptists weren't in existence then, but in several hundred years after that. It's too bad that some of the Lutherans didn't follow the Baptist teaching of immersion. Now, it's not required. Everyone wants to debate how much water you have and whether you have to be immersed or not. Of course, all that's ridiculous. That's getting involved in the symbolism. Now, symbolism is important, and I like the way the Baptists do it. They have a big tank, and during the service, if someone's going to be baptized, the pastor goes down into the water, and they take the person that's going to be baptized. Usually the water comes up to the chest or up to the head, and then they tell the person to hold your breath, or they put their hand over their mouth, and then they dunk them backwards into the water, completely under the water, and then the new person comes forward. That's the symbolism that St. Paul is talking about here. I think it's beautiful. It's too bad we don't do that. As a matter of fact, the other Christians kind of joke about us. They say we dry clean. We don't really wash them off properly. Well, of course, that's ridiculous. That's getting all wound up in the symbolism of it. Doesn't matter how much water you use, whether you just pour it or whether you dribble it or what. But the key thought, and even then, even in the early church, we had some symbolism. In the German Lutheran church, a little baby being brought up for baptism, they would take salt, and they would rub salt over the lips of the little infant and put some salt on the tongue, and the baby would yell and scream, and that was to symbolize the old nature, the sinful nature, the ornery sinful nature. Then right after the baptism, the pastor would have a little bottle of honey, and he'd put the honey on the lips and the honey on the tongue. The baby would shut up, and the baby was happy, and they'd say, now this symbolizes, you know, the new life. See, everything is wonderful and beautiful. So this symbolism is okay. It's all right to think of it this way, and Paul is using it this way also. Now, to get to the real point, however, he says there's more to it than just symbolism. You actually are a new person, Paul is saying. We have been crucified with Christ in death, in his death, and therefore we are dead to sin. Now, you get the point. When you're dead to sin, sin cannot motivate you anymore. Let's say somehow it seems to me most of the symbolism involving morality seems to involve men. I don't know why that is through the history of the world, probably because men are known for immorality maybe more than women, although I'm not sure that's true. I remember a neurosurgeon, his name was Dr. Fru, he was from Persia. He told me during my seminary days, I was at a hospital in training as a hospital chaplain. And he told me, he says, you know, he mentioned this very fact that most of the time when they talk about unfaithfulness and so on, they're talking about men. He said, don't accept that as true. He said, the women may be able to hide it a little bit easier, may be able to cover it over a little bit easier, but they're just as susceptible to immorality, and he used the word adultery. And so whether it's man or woman, the symbolism there is that, let's say, a very voluptuous woman that would normally tempt a man to lust after her were to walk into our church and come down the aisle. First of all, by the way, that's an interesting question, too, whether they would be accepted by the Christian church. Have you ever thought of that? You know, in the early New Testament church, the unbelievers and the ungodly were accepted. They were invited. Come on in. You're at the right place. This is where you can change your life. This is where you will find new friends. This is where you will see what God can do with you, such as he did with Mary Magdalene, completely and totally transform her life. It's a question. Let's say that there would be Years ago, there used to be a very infamous woman in Greendale. Everybody knew she was a prostitute, and the entire community knew it. And it was common gossip whenever someone was parked. She lived right over here in the apartments. And it was common gossip whenever a new car would be there or a different car, usually a different car almost every night. And they would watch that, and it would be the gossip of Greendale. I don't know. I haven't heard anything recently about that, question would be, would such a person be welcome in the Christian church today, or would we all snub her and say, well, what are you doing here? You certainly aren't worthy to hear about God's forgiveness or what God can do for you. That wasn't the first question I was going to come up with, but it just came to my mind, so I mentioned it. Anyway, supposing now that such a person appears and you're dead. Let's say you're a dead corpse. That person could walk back and forth past that dead corpse for an hour or two, and there would be no lust, there would be no coveting, because the person's dead. That's what St. Paul is saying. St. Paul is saying, how can you be tempted to sin? You're supposed to be dead. You're dead to sin. You died with Jesus Christ in his crucifixion. Your sin has been covered and paid. You are no longer alive to sin, you are alive to Christ. And that's the point of baptism. A new birth, Pastor Doug referred to it last Sunday as the born again, the second birth. The first birth is physical. Everyone has a first birth, every human being, that's physical. The second birth is when you are brought into the kingdom of God. That's being born again, and that's what baptism is. So being born again alive to Christ, and that's the whole point. If you read that text carefully, Paul goes through it two or three times. He says you can't be alive to sin anymore if you died with Christ. You are alive in God. You are a new person. You are a new, different person. You have different thoughts, different ideas, different goals, different opinions. And the whole intent of it is to show that you are no longer your old sinful self. You're a new person. You are a child of God. Now, in this newness of life, in this new born-again condition, you act differently. You think differently. So you are not looking at Paul Schrader this morning. You're looking at somebody else. Paul Schrader died in his baptism as an infant, dead to sin, alive to Christ, born again. This is Paul Schrader with Christ in him. That's totally different. Paul Schrader with Christ has been living now for 76 years, and in that process, trying to serve the Lord, trying to worship him, trying to do the will of God. And that's what it means to be born again, to be baptized in Jesus Christ. So the symbolism is beautiful, but the reality of it is even more beautiful, that we are new creatures. We have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, the crucified. Amen.